everyone, and welcome to the 13 Club podcast. Just a little introductory note for some of our older episodes is that we used to be the Pretty Spooky podcast, but changed it due to similarity issues with another podcast. You do not need to start with episode one. You can always start with one of our newer episodes, but we do appreciate you going through the old ones as well.
Hi, my name is Mira May, and this is Sweet Spectre, and we are both joining you today for a postmortem episode of the Pretty Spooky podcast.
Yes, we are. And today we are going to discuss a little bit more about our topics from last week, which is what the postmortems pretty much always are. I think we're also going to introduce a new, like, potential segment. So go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say I also brought a Reddit story to the table.
Oh, sweet. Okay.
So there's a lot of variety going on today. It's a real buffet of flavors for your ears.
Yep. Hopefully.
So I guess I'll go first.
Yeah, go for it.
So, or we can, like, take turns. Like, I'll say a thing, and then you say a thing. And then I'll say a thing, and you say a thing. Yeah. Okay.
Okay, sounds good.
So, for starters, this was actually brought to my attention by Spectre, last week, I discussed the game series In Memoriam and its sequel In Memoriam 2, which were known in the U.S. as Missing Since January, and the sequel was Evidence, The Last Ritual. So I talked about that game a lot because I really like it. It was like a cool ARG-style action-adventure horror puzzle game that has kind of faded from, I think, most people's memory, and
was obscure a little bit to begin with.
Oh, yeah. Well, I do kind of wonder about that because I read an old magazine. I don't even remember what magazine it was, but like an article from like when it came out in 2003 and 2004 that ranked it in like the top 100 games out that year or something. But
I just feel like even now, like, let's say a game like Until Dawn comes out and that's like considered one of the best games, but still a lot of people haven't even heard of it.
That's true. You bring up
because it's the genre, right?
That's true. People don't consider horror a like important like genre of anything really, movies or games. But anyway, it's this game that's maybe wasn't that well known to begin with, and is certainly I feel like kind of forgotten now. And I gave like a pretty, I think maybe too in depth plot summary to just kind of reconstruct what it was like because it's not something that you can really play anymore. Except it turns out that I'm wrong, because Spectre found a website for the In Memoriam Revival Project, which I just scared the shit out of myself because there's a little button on the website that I just moused over, and it makes a slicing sound, like a knife sound, and it just, like, I heard it right in my headphones and almost lost it. But, so it is a, like, basically, if you have a copy of the game, and this is only for In Memoriam, not for the sequel, but you install it, they've tested it, I think, for several versions of Windows up through, I think, Windows 7. There is an update pack that you download from them that I'm not sure exactly how it works, but it allows you to play through the game. I think they've, like, backed up something to a server of some kind.
Yeah, I think they put all that stuff on their own servers. And then what? Now you can get the emails and stuff again.
Yeah, I think they said that there were maybe like one or two of the old websites that they just like could not get back. But I would say it's probably like 95% completion according to their website. Basically, it's the whole project was started by someone who I don't think ever had played it themselves. They had just heard about the game for a long time and wanted to try playing it. But, you know, he bought it, found the online servers, and researched the mechanics and made it happen. It seems like the last time it was updated, according to their website, was January 14 of 2016. So it does that. At least the website hasn't been updated in that long. But to all intents and purposes, if you want to give the game a go, this seems like a really solid way to do it. I can only encourage that you try that if what we talked about last week was interesting to you. And I'm definitely considering going out and finding my own copy since all I ever actually played was the sequel and giving it a go because I really liked that game. It was hard, but it was cool.
Copies are like $2 on eBay.
Copies are $2 on eBay. You heard it here first. It's funny because we did the episode on it. We posted it as we normally do, and I posted a link to it on my personal Facebook page. And one of my friends, like a week later, which is fine because that's the point of a podcast is you can listen to it whenever. But like a week later, I guess he had listened to it and he said, "I saw a copy of that game at Goodwill and thought about buying it and didn't. And now I'm really mad that I didn't." And I was,
Yeah, well, check eBay.
yeah, check Goodwill. You never know.
Yeah, you can find some weird stuff at Goodwill.
That is true. So that is my little brief update for In Memoriam. I said last time that you can't play it anymore, and it looks like if you are willing to download some stuff and find an old copy, you might be able to do that. So definitely check it out. It is inmemoriam.softbreakers.com, or just Google In Memoriam Revival Project. So there
We'll
you go.
also post a link to it on the Ominous Glitch website, which
Yes.
we always make a post that kind of gives you supplementary material for the podcast. So we'll do
And
that for this
cite our
one.
sources and stuff like that.
Yeah, when we can, or like when you tell me to do it and then I actually do it.
But yep, so that's me. What kind of a postmortem content do you have?
I found this really cool audio clip. It's like 2 minutes long, and it's about it's a man telling his story about the Spanish flu and how it affected his family.
Yeesh.
And it's like a really old recording, and it's really cool. And so I'm gonna play it for you guys, and then yeah, we can discuss, I guess.
I'm on
All
board.
right. Okay. Let me make sure. I'm playing it off my phone, but then I'll edit it in properly for the real podcast.
Reverend James McCaw of Lower Hutt, although by this time engrossed in helping people ill or dying with the dreaded plague, breathed a sigh of relief that his son was not on board the Tahiti, but safe in camp at Featherston. Safe? Within a week, the camp was visited by death a dozen times a day. Bert was one of the victims. A day later, his sister Nan, a year younger, joined him from the Lower Hutt manse. Here, too, lay the three youngest of the family and their mother, all at death's door. But the parson? He was fit and well and capable. He boiled a daily brew of beef tea in the copper. He fed a score of helpless sick folk in an emergency hospital set up in the church hall. And each day he presided over 10 or a dozen funerals. He and Father Walsh were the only two ministers of religion in the valley able to get about. They buried the dead as they were brought to the grave, irrespective of creed or denomination. In the midst of all this horror came the armistice, November 11, 1918. I recall the nearby church bell ringing and my father telling me the war was over. I was only vaguely interested. He told me that Bert, my brother, had died. I took as much interest. He took me in his arms and carried me to see my dead sister before she was carried to the grave. He took me for a last visit to my mother, for he thought that both of us would die. But we didn't. We gasped for breath. Our chests and throats rattled with the passage of the hard-won air. We sweated and we shivered. We fainted and revived. Death waited for us, but we survived. Close to us lived two middle-aged women, retired nurses. They bolted their doors and hid from the plague. My father burst their door open with a charge of his great shoulder and thrust them into the fray, where they and he toiled mightily. So he and his wife and the rest of his family came through it. But 100 hut people did not. My father lost a score of his flock and two of his children, but not his faith.
So yeah.
That's crushing.
Yeah.
Like,
that's, imagine, I can't imagine living through something like that.
Well, you know, it's something I didn't even think about before, but the, like, larger context of the end of World War One,
yeah,
like, happening at the same time is something that, like, when we talked about this last week, I didn't even think about what was going on elsewhere at that mm-hmm. time. I was just so focused on how horrific that the illness itself was. That, you know, what a dark time.
An extremely dark time. We talk about things like the Great Depression, but, like, you know, I don't know why. Maybe I'm just, at first I thought maybe it's just my education that was somewhat ignorant to not really realize that the devastation that the Spanish flu brought. But then you also said that you didn't really learn about it in school as well. No. And I just, I don't know if it's our, you know, we're close to the same age. I don't know if it's just our time or just American school systems or what.
I'm inclined to think it's the latter, you know, like,
yeah.
It's only worth talking about, like, harrowing suffering if, like, the right, like, you know.
If the U.S. looks good in the end.
Well, if the, like, what is it, the quote about, like, history is written by the people who won or whatever.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. So we talk about the Great Depression and we talk about, like, you know, the Dust Bowl and, you know, stuff like that. But that's the thing that a lot of people remember in the Great Depression is, like, the stock market crash. Who could afford to, like, invest in the stock market? Rich people. Rich mm-hmm. rich people suffered and rich people got hurt, so we care about that. But what about, like, impoverished people? What about people living through, like, Reconstruction in the South, like, at the same mm-hmm. time, like, where it was also really horrible? Like, oh, my God. Yeah. But we only, you know, I don't know. I'm going off on a tangent. This has been...
No, I get it.
This has been Sociopolitical Corner.
Well, yeah, I think that's, you know, sort of the same thing that happened to me when I listened to this audio clip. And I played it for Nova, and we sort of had, like, a discussion about it, because we have been discussing the Spanish flu ever since I found that article. And it is crazy. It puts things into a perspective that I haven't personally thought about before, because it was so far before my time, and it's before, and, you know, any of my relatives. Yeah, every time you ever go to a bookstore, you hear about World War II. And I feel like that's maybe because it's closer to us, but stuff that is this old, I guess, isn't really discussed as much. But I'm glad that I researched it, and I'm glad I learned a little bit more about it.
Yeah, for sure.
But something else that's coincidentally kind of awesome is there's this game by Don't Nod, which is the same studio, French studio, that made Life is Strange. And they have released a horror game called Vampyr. Mm-hmm. And it takes place during the Spanish flu.
Ah.
And it's really cool. I've been playing it. It's basically you play a man who was a doctor, and he is turned into a vampire at the point in the game I'm at, he doesn't know who. And it's him struggling with his desire to still try to help people and be a doctor and help all the flu victims and also help this, like, crazy vampire rampage that's going on at the same time. And then also his own personal needs for blood and for killing people. And it's, you make a lot of cool choices in it. It's really moody and awesome. And I feel like I've reached out to Don't Nod for a comment that I might, you know, if I hear back, I'll bring it up. But I'm going to try to play more of the game and get more of a idea about it. Do some deep dive research into it. And then I think that might be my topic next week.
Awesome.
For the main episode.
I'm looking forward to it. That sounds really interesting. You have mentioned it a couple of times.
Yeah, I think I mentioned it, like, last episode.
Yeah, I think you did. I just don't actually know much about it, so you know, I'll be going into it more or less fresh, so I will
yeah.
avoid it until then.
I really like it so far. I know that it's gotten kind of mixed reviews, but I think I'll sort of discuss why I like it and why I think the reviews might be mixed, and talk a little bit more about the themes involved. And I think it's going to be a good discussion point.
I'm excited for it.
So tell us your Reddit story.
Yes. So I brought a Reddit story. Let me pull it up here for us.
I always love Reddit stories so much.
I was kind of looking for something that would fit a little thematically, I guess, with evidence. In memoriam. So I had looked at a couple of different Reddit what's your blank or whatever. So this story is on Reddit. The thread was one of those, what's the creepiest true story that happened to you or someone you know? There's a couple different threads like that with similar wording, but this one's from about a year ago.
I have huge lists compiled of those of those threads because I love them.
Well, maybe you've read this one before then.
Maybe.
But so in trying to keep it thematically similar to In Memoriam and some of the way that that game could occasionally feel creepy and voyeuristic, I ended up in a thread that had one of those, they kind of divulged into stalker stuff. This was posted by user Laurifish, I think, Laurifish. She says, he or she says, when I was in my very early 20s, my mom and I shared a house. We had a stalker. The first night we stayed in the house, someone got into our car. My mom happened to come outside, saw him, set off the panic alarm in the car, and scared him away. My backpack had been in the car, and he dumped the contents into the floorboard of the car, but left the paycheck that I had just cashed, all the cash still in a bank envelope. The police said it seemed like they were searching for something specific and really questioned me about what that might be, but I have no idea. Police were able to get a partial palm print off the car, but had no matches in their system. My mom and I were out doing yard work, and we found a phone cord under our deck. It connected into the phone box on the outside of the house. We called the phone company out, and they said they figured someone had been using the cord to hook up a phone and lay under our deck and listen in on our phone calls. They removed the cord and put a lock on the phone box. We also frequently heard someone walking outside our windows at night. We would call the police, and they would drive by but not see anyone. Another time, all of the light bulbs from our exterior lights were removed. Once we came home, my mom realized a pair of earrings and a stuffed animal that had been sitting on her dresser were missing. There was no signs of anyone having broken in, but those items never turned up, and we were sure someone had been in the house. We frequently heard this weird thump and squeak noise that we could never figure out what it was. Another time, my mom was raking leaves at the front of the house and saw something in one of our bushes. It was a voice-activated recorder wrapped in black plastic and tied to the trunk of one of our bushes.
Oh.
The recorder was tapped into our phone line. Someone had gotten under the house, drilled a hole through our foundation, and they put 3 exclamation marks next to this in parentheses.
Yeah.
And run a
That's a lot of work, man.
Yeah, and run a phone cord through the hole into the recorder in the bush. We have no idea how a neighbor, though they were all elderly, didn't see or hear this happening. The police, who were well aware of the issues by this point, now seemed to realize that this was a serious, scary problem. They sent several officers out to investigate the recorder. We were in the house talking to an officer and heard the thump-squeak noise that we always heard. We told the officer, "That's the noise we can't identify." As it turns out, at that moment, an officer was crawling under the house and had bumped into a pipe. He was able to repeat the noise. The police figured that it was almost impossible to get into or out of the crawl space under the house without bumping into that pipe, and we heard that noise a lot. The police think that whoever it was getting into the crawl space and lying under the house listening to us.
No.
We put a cover over the entrance and glued it down. We put sequins in a certain order in the glue so that we could tell if it had been removed and re-glued. It was all insanely creepy. We eventually moved. I moved in with my boyfriend, who is now my husband, on a second floor apartment. I felt so much safer with people all around and figured that the stalking issue was behind me.
Oh no.
Not long after we moved in, I noticed that our caller ID wasn't working. I called the phone company and they informed me that a Mr. Kramer had called and requested that the caller ID service be turned off on our phone. I had a meltdown. I was so upset, first off because the phone company let some random person make changes on our phone line, and secondly because apparently the issues were not behind me and they were planning something and didn't want the caller ID to show up. I put a password on our account so no changes could be made without it, and that was the last issue we ever had. I really think the caller ID issue was possibly unrelated. Maybe someone was accidentally making changes to the wrong account or something. Either way, it was very creepy, and I have to admit that if the person wanted to do something bad to either of us, there were surely plenty of times that it could have been done. It really seems they just wanted to observe us and scare us.
Oh, I hate that.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. With Reddit stories, like, you always kind of have to know that someone could be making something up.
But, I feel like that one seems legit to me.
Felt really real to me. There's a lot of stuff, but it didn't feel fake.
I think the number one thing for me that makes it feel real is that there's never any, like, major culmination into one, like, serious event.
Right. Like, I woke up and someone was standing over the bed holding a knife.
Like, yeah, it was never like that. It was just, like, this creepy phone-related issue that someone was doing. And, I mean, I've, like, try not to talk about it that much, but I've been the victim of stalking literally more than a dozen times, maybe. And only a couple were very serious, but it is really, really scary to go through that stuff.
It's not, yeah, not cute. But yeah, that particular story is really creepy. One thing she kind of glosses over, but I think is particularly upsetting, is the idea that all of their exterior lights were removed. Like,
yeah, that is scary.
That's, somebody was, you know, really didn't want to be seen.
Didn't want to be seen, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Gross. I hate it. Thanks. I hate it.
You're welcome. All right, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Okay, so we are going to probably be alternating these postmortem episodes with I guess we're going to call it like special edition or something like that.
We'll think of something.
Yeah, we'll think of something maybe more clever than that. Maybe not. But basically, it's going to be for spoiler-related discussions. So, for example, we are right now doing almost like a movie book club with each other where I watched her favorite horror movie, Suspiria, and she has watched or is about to watch.
I'm about to watch.
My favorite horror movie, which is Martyrs, and then we're going to talk about it, but I feel like it's a waste to talk about it without spoiling anything. So we're going to have special episodes that will contain spoilers. We will describe what's going to be in the episode, and we will probably tell you, like, a week before, so that if you want to go ahead and watch those movies, you can be involved in the discussion.
So,
or at least know what we're talking about.
Right. We will, on the day that this episode, this postmortem is released, we will make tweets and other posts to the same effect. But as of listening to this podcast, you've got, like, a week to join in. Two weeks.
Because episode 5 will come out next week.
You're right. Well.
And then special edition Martyrs Suspiria will come out the week after.
Got it. You're right. I can't do math.
That's okay.
So you've got 2 weeks. And if you want to join us, you can. If you want to skip that episode, that's fine too.
Yep.
But I kind of get the feeling that you're not going to want to.
It's going to be awesome. You should definitely watch those movies and talk about them with us.
Yes, definitely.
At least mentally talk about them with us.
You can yell at us on the internet if you want.
You should yell at us on the internet.
We don't get enough of that.
So. No, we don't.
I guess that's going to wrap it up for this postmortem episode. Is there anything else you want to add?
Nope, this is just a short one.
It's a short one, short and sweet.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for joining us. You will get a full episode next week.
Bye!
Bye!